Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Today's episode, The Answer Starts With Why. For some reason, it is the nature of most human beings to be solution-oriented, typically a good thing. We come across a problem and we work quickly to solve it. We use our life experiences and personal wisdom to address the issues. Sometimes we engage others in the solution, but we mostly work hard to address the issue so that we can just simply move on. Many times we even ignore the problems in an effort to hope they'll go away. While solution sounds like a good idea, too often our solutions compound the issues that we are facing, and as a result, we create more problems or we do not allow ourselves to even see the real problem. I want to share a version of one of my favorite stories in addressing problems. When I'm coaching or training others on how to get to a root cause, people often find it difficult to truly reflect upon the issue, and everyone is quick to jump on the first solution or answer that makes sense. Sometimes we even ignore the obvious because the solution fits our mindset, because the problem is too complicated, and we just start solutioning. So here's one of many versions of how asking why to exhaust all options can be helpful. No one really knows if this version is the true one, but it is a great and legendary example of how using the 5-why technique can create clarity of the problem. Several years ago, the National Park Service had a problem. The stone of the Lincoln Memorial was deteriorating and showing significant signs of wear. They considered replacing the stone or painting over it on a frequent basis, but this solution was just simply too expensive. They costed it out and began to budget to replace the stone and paint. But then someone in appropriations asked them why this was occurring to this monument and not the others. So the bosses called in the maintenance crew and asked what was going on. No one had a quick answer, and then an engineer trained in using the 5-why root cause process simply stopped the conversation and asked, "Why was the stone deteriorating?" The maintenance crew responded, "Well, we use high-power sprayers to wash the memorial every 2 weeks." Well, the bosses heard the answer and told the maintenance crew to stop power washing and start using low-pressure hoses and brushes to clean the monument. But the engineer was having none of the quick answer and asked the bosses to allow her to ask a few more questions. So she asked, "Why are we doing high-powered washing every 2 weeks?" The maintenance crew said, "Because of all the bird droppings." It was pretty obvious that if you got rid of the bird droppings would stop. So the bosses sent away the maintenance crew with instructions to put nets up in strategic places. The engineer sat there frustrated, because she knew that this was not the root cause, but she was outnumbered. She also knew this was not over. And, as luck would have it, the quick solution was not very effective, because the tourists complained that they were unsightly. So the maintenance crew was called again, and the bosses let the engineer continue uninterrupted. So she continued her line of questioning by asking, "Why are there so many birds?" The maintenance guys pointed out what seemed to be quite obvious. There are a lot of birds because there's a lot of food. "Well, what kind of food?" "Spiders." They were then asked, "Why are there so many spiders?" "Have you ever been to the memorial at night?" they asked. "There are billions of insects. The spiders come for the buffet." Well, armed with this information, the bosses ordered regular treatment of insecticides, and again the engineer wanted to ask more questions, but she was once again outnumbered, and this solution also proved ineffective and created more complaints from the tourists. So the bosses called the engineer and the maintenance crew again. The engineer asked, "May I please finish my line of questioning?" And the bosses said, "Yes." So the engineer asked, "Why are there so many insects?" The maintenance crew, "The insects are attracted to the high-powered spotlights we shine on the memorial." Oh, the bosses, "Why didn't you just tell us that before we ordered the insecticides?" The maintenance crew simply said, "Sorry, boss, you didn't ask." The engineer, "May I please, please finish my line of questioning before you all order another solution?" This time the bosses let her go. "Why do we shine the lights?" "So the tourists will come to the memorial," the maintenance guy said. "Is there anything we can do about the lights so that there won't be so many bugs?" Well, the maintenance crew said, "Well, yeah, sure. Turn the lights on later in the evening and off earlier in the mornings. This, as it turned out, was a brilliant idea. The lights were typically turned on 2 hours before sunset and turned off 2 hours after sunrise. By waiting 30 minutes after sunset to turn them on and turning them off 30 minutes before the sun came up, they were able to both save money on electricity and also reduce the amount of bugs by a significant percent. The insects, assuming that the Lincoln Memorial was closed for business, simply decided to relocate, and they spent their evening someplace else in Washington. Less bugs meant less spiders. Less spiders meant less birds. Less birds meant less droppings. Less droppings meant less washings. And less washings meant less likelihood that the stone would deteriorate on the memorial. The story is powerful because it's relatable. We do this all the time. We are presented with a problem, and we quickly decide to solve it. And many times we look past the journey we need to take to get to the true root cause and a legitimate solution. Everyone has opportunities like this in their personal life and their work life. Let me give you another example, simpler and shorter. So a student is sent to the office. The principal says, "Why were you sent to the office?" The student, "Because I didn't have a pencil for class." Now, at this point, many principals and many of us would just simply give the student a pencil and say, "Head back to class." But watch what happens if you just ask why again. "Well, why did not having a pencil get you sent to the office?" Student: "Because she asked me to get ready and I told her off." Principal: "What? Why did you tell her off?" "Because she always asks me questions knowing I'm not ready so that I look stupid in front of my friends." Principal: "Why would she want to embarrass you?" Student: "Because she doesn't like me." What could have easily been solved by simply giving that kid a pencil and sending them back to class would have actually only created a more explosive situation. This 5-why example demonstrates that we have a perception and empathy issue in this scenario. The child perceives a vindictive teacher, and the teacher needs to hear the reason for the student misbehaving, and the two of them can close the gap of a dented relationship. Teachers, when they hear these type of roots, are quick to change their behaviors, because they never try to intentionally humiliate a child. You see, looking at simple situations through an investigatory lens and trying to get to the root cause by asking why is really powerful. Want to test the theory? Simply spend time with a 4-year-old and show them stuff. Eventually they will ask you, "Why is an egg that shape? Why is the sky blue? Why do leaves fall? Why is water in my glass clear but in the lake it's not?" You will exhaust yourself with all of the follow-up questions that they ask, and the whys, and the reasons that you'll come to support their answers. And it's at the point where you get exhausted that you will find yourself staring at the root cause of a problem. In the case of the whys posed to you by a 4-year-old, your problem is that you don't have endless knowledge. So here's the deal. This week, take a look at a nagging problem, and instead of racing to a solution, stop and review the issue. Find the root by asking why, and determine if your solution is actually going to help. Sometimes we're so quick to throw solutions at problems, and it can cause unforeseen negative consequences. And let me give you this example. So a few years ago, a very well-meaning national organization decided that they were going to donate coats to kids who lived below the poverty line to ensure they'd be warm in the winter. A seriously great idea, right? All across the country, kids were given coats, and people celebrated the incredible act of generosity. The coats were given to the kids, and they were each allowed to choose from 3 colors, blue, pink, or yellow. Kids went to their hooks and lockers proudly hanging up their new coat. But there was a problem with this wonderfully generous solution. Think about it. What problem could this create? Well, kids being kids, once these proud recipients of new coats went outside, they quickly became a visual indicator of the haves and have-nots on the playground. Suddenly, everyone knew who was poor and who wasn't, and the recess meanness ensued on playgrounds across the country, with one exception, in the schools where every kid got a coat. Whose fault was this? Well, no one's. Of course not. It was a great intention. But once a solution has a consequence, you have to get to the root cause and find the real solution to the problem. In this case, they came up with a great solution. The next year, there were so many choices of code styles that no one on the playground could tell who had and who had not. A simple and elegant resolution to a problem that never existed before a quick solution was presented. Before we are too quick to find the answer, we need to make certain that we have first identified the problem. We have to ask ourselves, are we trying to solve the problem, or are we trying to find the problem? We should always be trying to find the problem. Without an understanding of the issue, we cannot solve anything. If we are truly patient with ourselves and ask the question why, we can be better positioned to lead ourselves and others. So let's do some smart thinking. What cyclical issues are you facing that could be five wide? When faced with an issue this week, can you ask yourself if you are trying to find the solution or are you trying to find the problem? Who in your life is naturally inquisitive and would be a good coach to help you drill past the quick solution? And how can you avoid quick solutions that may have unintended consequences? That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, please share this on your social media platform, and thank you for listening. I'm excited to announce that in the next few weeks at CISA 6, we are launching the Rapid Center for Improvement. The center is going to focus on bringing strategies like the one discussed today to all levels of a school system or any organization in need of support on their continuous improvement journey. If you're interested in finding ways for me and our team to help you, simply email me at ted@cisa6.org. Our process is designed to make all the applications of these tools engaging and very rewarding. Imagine a world where kids, teachers, parents, and leaders were all trained to look for the problem first. Finally, I practice these types of strategies every day, and I only came upon them as a result of a behavior that I regularly and frequently jump to solutions. In positions of leadership, we often face complicated situations and are forced to make very quick decisions. And too often, we jump quickly to the solution. What needs to occur instead is movement to quick problem identification, and that is simply hard. I still struggle with jumping to the conclusion, but I have also learned to surround myself with people smarter than me, and we together have always learned to ask each other why.
Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? There's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. Shake the world with me.